Good afternoon. You are listening to Behind the Words, and I am your host, Lori Hayes. This is a broadcast of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. If you would like to know more about our network or this show, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Authors on the Air or BTW on Air. Please visit us online at www.authorsontheair.com to find out all about all of our shows, upcoming guests, blog, and more. So today is week 3 of the exciting Behind the Scenes series here on Behind the Words, and I am very excited. We're changing the tune a little bit today and talking about children's books, which is where my passion and love for the written word began. Have you ever opened a picture book and just been in awe of the colorful scenes behind the words? I know I have. There is no better way to bring the story alive than by the amazing art and animation. So please join me in welcoming Mark Wayne Adams, an amazing, talented illustrator, among other things, whom I have had the pleasure of seeing in action. Good morning, or good afternoon, Mark. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
Good, good. Joining us from the sunny state of Florida, I think, you know, anybody that's not there right now is probably slightly jealous.
Well, it was very cold here earlier this week. So
and what
it's down in the 30s. I'm actually in Fort Myers right now.
Okay. I was going to say, what exactly is cold to a Floridian? But 30s
yeah.
is cold. I'll give you that.
Oh, yeah. 30s is cold.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I'm in Alabama, and 30s is cold for us, too, so you get that one. Well, very good. Mark, I would like to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself to our listeners today that may or may not be familiar with you and your business, and kind of just give us a high-level overview of who you are, and we will get right into our questions after that.
Okay, sure. My name is Mark Wayne Adams. I am the publisher of 12 award-winning children's books. They've won over 30 different children's book awards in the past 6 years. I have also illustrated 32 different children's books in the past 6 years. My work experience comes from Disney, SeaWorld. I was an art director, and I also managed a printing company. So I approached publishing with a business mind. I knew how to manage projects, budgets, and I looked at my children's books process, and I built my business around knowing what the product was worth and the retail value of it, and that's what's made it super successful. I also trained to be an animator, which means I also draw really fast. So I met my first publisher. I illustrated my first book in 15 days, the second book in 30 days, and the publisher said something to me, which was the light bulb for me. He said, "You're going to make a ridiculous amount of money in this business because most illustrators take about a year to illustrate a picture book." And I was blown away. He said, "Well, you're 8 times faster than the average illustrator." He said, "If you keep this up, you're going to be super successful." And he was right. Most illustrators, it takes them a lifetime to do 32 books, and it's only taken me 6 years.
Wow. Well, like I said, I've had the opportunity to see you in action. I actually got to meet you at the book fair in Nashville a few months ago.
Yeah.
And you caught the eye of my then 7-year-old daughter, who is an aspiring artist, as they all are. And she was very thrilled to see your art. And literally, I can see how you can illustrate books very quickly because you drew a masterpiece like in minutes. And it was fascinating to watch.
Thank you. No problem.
So, you know, you mentioned a little bit about, you know, the business side of it and how you got involved in that, but how did you start illustrating? How did you know that you wanted to draw pictures for children's books?
I really did not know that that's what I wanted. As a kid, my mother was a librarian, so I was around books all the time. And anytime I had a question, she would give me the call number for the section in the library. So my most popular section was 741.3, and that was the drawing section. My second favorite section in the library was E, picture books, everybody books. So as an adult, I had my fine arts degree. I had been married to my wife for almost 3 years, and I would go to the library, and I would come home with drawing books and children's picture books. And my wife said, "Why are you bringing these picture books in the house?" She said, "You're a grown man." I'm like, "I don't know. There's something about them that fascinates me." And that's really, it's always been a part of my life. And it wasn't until I illustrated my first book for the publisher that I really understood that it was. I mean, that's really my calling.
So when you illustrated your first book for the publisher, was that a... was that a book that you were sought out for, or was that a book that you wrote? What did that journey look like?
The first book that I illustrated, the publisher had an author that he was publishing the book for. They didn't have an illustrator, and a graphic designer friend was doing the book layout. And they asked if he knew any artists, and he, of course, recommended me, and that was how I was referred to that project. Since then... I usually find my author clients at book festivals, writing events, and that if you're an illustrator and you want to find a client, don't hang out at art functions because everyone else is an artist. Hang out at writing functions because most of these writers cannot draw, and that's what I started to do, was hang out where the writers were.
Hence where I met you. Excellent.
Exactly. You caught on to me.
Yeah, I caught on. So, I talk on Behind the Words. I talk to a lot of authors that publish mostly, novels and such. And it's a rare occasion and a special treat that I get to talk to somebody in the children's book industry, which is a passion of mine. That's where I also started my career as a book specialist at Zany Brainy in Illinois way, way long time ago, at least it seems to me. And so I lived in the picture books, the Caldecott award-winning books, and I had to memorize them all, So... I love it, and the process I imagine has got to be significantly different than it is to publish a novel. So could you walk us through what it looks like? An author writes this fabulous children's story, but it has to have pictures. So what's next? How does that look?
Sure. That's actually what I spoke to this morning at the Gulf Coast Writers Association meeting, and we stepped through the process. As an illustrator, once the writer presents the story to you, it may be a great story, but if it's misspelled or there are grammatical errors, it's not the time to illustrate the book. It needs to be in its final version. It needs to be edited professionally. And the reason is it's a long process. When you illustrate a children's book, you're going to spend 30 to 60 days just creating the artwork for it. And if the word story isn't spelled correctly, if it's spelled S-T-O-Y, why even illustrate the book? Because if it's going to be printed misspelled, no one's going to want to read the book anyway.
Right.
So the next step, once the story is professionally edited, the author needs to provide extra details. If the story says, "I wish I was a dog," we need to know what the dog is, what breed, because there are thousands of breeds. Is it a happy dog, an ugly dog? So there's so many details that go into the story. So that's even more writing on top of the writing the author's already created. And then also as the illustrator, if you have marketing elements you would like to put in your book, the illustrator is the person that can do that for you. You may not want to say, "I sell T-shirts." The writer can't write that into the book, but the illustrator can hide different T-shirts on the characters inside the book. So then if you wanted to retail your T-shirts along with your book, then that's a way your illustrator works with you. So there are so many different facets to what the picture book illustrator provides to the story.
Yes, absolutely. Goodness, I would have no idea. So how does an artist or an illustrator meet an author? How do they decide if there's a good chemistry there? Because I imagine that there's stories out there that are just, something that would not be a good fit for your style of art or whatnot. Is that a challenge out there?
For me, I actually interview the author and I ask them five questions. The questions are, name five things you would do for free. Because if you're doing something for free, that's your passion. I mean, that's your love. You wake up in the morning. If you're a basketball player, the first thing you do is you grab a ball. And you would do it for free. And I ask them, what's their marketing plan? That gives me an idea of how they see their book in the market. I also ask them their five favorite books, and usually they'll pull off the Caldecott, and I look at them like, okay, you want award-winning illustrations. You want, you know, you want that quality. And I ask these questions because it lets me understand who they are. If they tell me they have 17 grandchildren, I'm like, wow, you know, how did you get started with that? And you can tie those elements inside the story. And that's how I develop my relationship with the authors. Everyone does it differently, but I think by understanding who that person is and the direction of the project, then you can make a educated decision. For example, I have a lot of authors who come and say, well, I have a great story, but I have no money. And I look at them and I think, well, that's great, but you can't do this. You know, you can't create this product because you don't have money. But then some of the authors go, but I will come up with it. And I'm like, wow, business person. So, that, you know, that I love business people too. So I'm like, yes. So that's where I see my authors. I like people who are the go-getters. And that's the people I like to work with.
Absolutely. I can understand. I can understand that it could be challenging, especially in this day and age when self-publishing is such a wide market. So, you know, an author that might be interested in publishing a children's book can see the success of all of the authors publishing the novels, but it's a completely different thing because you can't just put the pictures together and throw it all together and then throw it on, you know, CreateSpace and voila, you have a book. I mean, I guess you could, but it wouldn't be the quality that you're hoping to take to the market. So,
exactly.
You know, a lot of people may be jaded in the fact that they see how simple it is. I mean, writing a novel isn't simple, but the publishing process, the way that, you know, it's put out there is is simple, but not so much in your genre, so to speak. Very good.
And everybody, you know, everyone feels that a picture book is very easy to write. But the thing about picture books is that most of the people who read picture books don't know how to read. And that's why the illustrator is very important with picture books, is because the reader does not read. So if you illustrate about dogs and you put the word, this book is about dogs, on the cover, to a non-reader, if you don't have a dog on the cover, they won't know what the book is about. So, yeah.
Right. Right. And you said something that was interesting to me earlier. You know, the writer will write the book, the children's book in the picture book, and kind of have an idea in their head, but the writing isn't done at that point because then they have to write for you. They have to write what their vision is. So how does the vision come up? Does a writer come up to you and say, I have this book and I have this story that I want to tell. This is the color hair that this little girl I envision having. Or does she say, here, read this book and tell me what you think, and you come up with what you think the picture should be?
It happens both ways. I usually ask the author to send me their version, and I have them write line by line and page by page what they envision. And then while they're doing that, I also do the same thing, so that when we have a conference call or if we sit down together, I go, this is funny that you thought that, because this is what I thought. And then we look at the two thoughts and we compare them, and we decide which one is the better thought and which one is the better description. And by doing that, the author's book, the author says a lot of times, wow, you know, my book is even better than what it was just because of the pictures. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy that because that means I brought value to the project. But also, when the author sends that information to me, I actually make the book they envision inside their head. Because if I know that it's on a hill in the middle of Connecticut, and it's a maple tree, and it's in the fall, it's lost all of its leaves except for two, you have a vision. You know, those words actually portray what the picture would look like.
Mm-hmm.
And the story may say, a tree on a hill. But it takes all of that extra writing to describe that.
Yeah, that's absolutely. So I have explored your website, markwadeadams.com, and see that you are above and beyond, like you mentioned before, the illustrator, but also the publisher. So you have some new books that are coming out this year. Tell us a little bit about your business and what kind of services that you offer to potential children's book authors.
It's kind of like a grocery store. People can come in and we provide graphic design services. We provide illustration services. I work with a couple of other illustrators. We also do publishing management, and what we do is we help self-published or indie authors build a business plan, find their editors. We go line by line. We get the graphic designer, the editor, the printers, and we set up their business plan so that they're successful not only in getting a quality product, but also by putting it into the market at an economical price to make a return on their investment.
Mm-hmm. Neat. So that is just a gold mine, really, for an author to stumble upon a service like yours, because that is if you've never done it before, it is definitely a difficult or challenging path to follow. So I'm curious to know, as an illustrator and as a publisher of many children's books, what is the market for like Kindle books in the children's genre? Do you find that you're also illustrating in that kind of format?
In the beginning, no one considered that. But I always joke and say that every baby in the United States today is born with a cell phone in their hand. So most, you know, they're born with technology now, whereas when we were born, we were not born with technology. So the books, when I illustrate projects now, I interview the author and I ask them, what format is this product going to be in? And they say, all formats. Well, once I know that, if you have a Kindle or an iPad, horizontal books don't read well. And a lot of people like picture books horizontal because it's an intimate setting. But once you put it on a digital device, it needs to be a vertical book, so that the translation from the original looks the same on your Kindle as it does in print format. And the reason, as an illustrator, you have to do two different drawings. If you have a horizontal print book and your e-book is vertical, there is a lot of Photoshop and digital time that goes back into the process to recreate the artwork in a vertical format. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So that's curious, because you know my kids, they got Kindles for Christmas, and that's one of the things that we've been
oh,
unfortunately,
yeah.
Books hasn't been the first thing that they've been doing on them. We need to change that. but there aren't a lot of there are you know, lots of children's books available, but the finding ones that are engaging are challenging sometimes. So it's interesting to see, you know, what the challenges are in converting a picture book, you know, a paper book to a Kindle format in that realm. So very good. Well, what would you say one of the biggest challenges as an illustrator working with an author is?
It's always communication. I mean, even in life is difficult because of communication. I mean, my wife can say one thing and I think totally different. and even with an author, when you're working as an illustrator, my world is visual. If I see someone, I will remember them for the rest of my life. If you were to write down their name, I would probably forget it. So, and that's been a challenge, is personality and how you perceive the world makes it a little bit difficult. So what I've learned to do is become a writer and learn the words that associate with the thoughts in my head. Because in the beginning, I was not a very good writer. You can ask my editor. She's like, what are you thinking? Didn't you graduate college? But, yeah, so that's the challenge, is just communication.
Yeah, definitely. I think communication is a challenge across the board in the whole, because you're mixing different personality types in exactly what you said. That's it can be challenging, especially because it's, you know, their baby, their artwork is the
right
words and your artwork are the pictures. So how do you get those two to communicate in your own mediums?
And also, everyone communicates differently. I have some authors that I think they'll text me all day long. They'll want to see pictures through a text. And then other authors want to see my face. They'll want to either have a video conference or they will want to meet places. So that's challenging, because then that's a time limitation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, learning how each person communicates is difficult sometimes. You know, I like email because I can look at it, I remember it, I can document it, I keep it in a folder. but text. I don't keep text. So if someone sends it over to me, now I'm in the habit of emailing it to myself and making a folder and keeping text now. So.
Yes. Hey, that sounds, that's just like me. I have not jumped on that whole texting bandwagon, though I did text you today, so
Go figure. That's perfect. I loved it.
Go figure. So you mentioned that you're an author also. You became an author so that you can kind of learn to learn both sides of the business. And so I'm curious, as an author, is it difficult to illustrate your own work or vice versa? Is it difficult to write for your pictures?
For me, I carry a journal, and I journal through pictures, and I can look at my pictures, and that's where the words come from. That's usually how I write, but I've actually gotten in the habit with the smart devices by pulling over, and I write now, and I write it on my smart device. I export it to a Word document once a week, and then once a month I'll just sit down and accumulate my thoughts, put them in order, and I've written 6 novels in the past 2 years just by doing that process. So, you know, writing has become a love now.
Wow. That's amazing.
I never thought that I would ever grow up and write a real book. You know, 32 pages was about as far as I could go. But now it's pretty cool to have thousands of pages written.
So this is that brings me to another question then. Because you are an artist and you can draw the pictures, do you feel that your stories come from the pictures that you have in your mind? or are you finding that you're writing something and you're not even thinking about what it looks like?
A lot of times I write and I don't think about what it looks like. Because as an illustrator, you can take someone on a totally different journey through the words. For example, I'll use the dog again. I wish I was a dog. Well, I always joke and say, well, one person's dog is a totally different person's dog, because my dog is a Jack Russell, but somebody else's dog may be, hey, yo, dog, what's up? So it may be a totally different definition of the word. So as an illustrator, if you were to receive a book like I Wish I Was a Dog, I could be an elephant. You know, I could be a cat wishing that he was a dog. So the word I doesn't even have to be a human. It can actually be a totally different animal, which makes the book, you can have I Wish I Was a Dog from an elephant's perspective, all these different perspectives, which makes it very entertaining, because if you were to see an elephant by a fire hydrant, it's going to leave a big mess. So there's so many different funny ways as an illustrator that no matter if it's written one way, it could go in so many different directions.
So in novels now, you know, pictures are not something that you see in novels, obviously. They're books that you pick up just to read. But I'm curious to know if you're ever tempted to add a picture, to add to your story then when you're writing. Do you feel that sometimes a visual effect can draw more out of that story for an adult as much as it can for a child?
I find that the adults do not have enough time to enjoy it. There are some adults that, you know, we still read comic books and we still have fun with pictures and words. But there are some adults that the picture is a distraction or just, a pause to get to the next chapter. I do find that young adult novels, people who read young adult novels, do enjoy pictures. If you're familiar with the book Hugo or Wonderstruck, that's actually how I've written my children's or my novel series. It's heavily illustrated. That's an illustrated novel, and that's the type of book I enjoy reading. I like a sandwich with a cookie. You know, it's kind of like having this little extra little dessert on top of what you're reading. But I also wrote the story in a manner that it does not need pictures to support it.
Neat. It's interesting to see how that would look from your perspective as an artist too, just to see a book or, you know, a novel. And, you know, we read chapter books with my kids, and some of the chapter books that they enjoy the most are the ones that maybe have 10 or 15 pictures in the whole 300 pages that we're going through, because, you know, we stop and we pause and we talk about it and we ask them, you know, what do you think is in, you know, what does this picture mean, or what part of the story do you think this is talking about? And so as a parent, I appreciate, especially in the young adult and the children's type novels, being able to relate that back on a different level than maybe than you are in a picture book. So Very cool. Well, before we move on to our questions from our listeners, I would love to know, you know, you mentioned editing is one of the things that an author that is looking for an illustrator should be cognizant of. But what else could you offer? What other kind of piece of advice could you offer to a future children's book author?
Be conscious of who your competition is. For example, if you write a book about a cat who thinks he's a dog, and you think it's going to be the best book in the whole wide world, you're not the first person who did that. If you're familiar with Skippy John Jones, that's your competition. As an author, you're up against that book. I mean, your book may be totally written different, or it may just be the next Skippy John Jones book. So be conscious of who your competition is. A lot of people will write this story, they'll go illustrate it, they'll publish it, and they will not even go into Barnes & Noble and say, what's your best-selling picture book on cats who think they're dogs? You know, if you had done that in the first 5 minutes, you would have changed the subject matter. You have addressed which illustrator you hire. You know, your whole plan isn't shot down. You just reconstruct it around making your book better than that book. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whole goal when you are publishing. Even if you are self-publishing, don't look at it as, I'm just going to get this thing out. I mean, that sounds like a mom who's been carrying this baby for 9 months. I'm just going to get this thing out. Let's go in here. No. You're going to actually put it in there. You're going to incubate it. You're going to wait till it's the right time and make it a quality product. Because know your competition and be as good or better than your competition. And self-publishing is successful that way. If you walk up and you're embarrassed to hand the product to the person, then they're going to be embarrassed to tell you no. So,
Yes, I hear that. So speaking of knowing, differentiating your product and know your competition, one of the things that drew us to your booth in Nashville was that big picture of the Fart Fairy book. That was what, and my daughter had to buy that for my son for his birthday. So I want to talk a little bit about something that you're a part of. You illustrated these books, the Best Fairy Books. And if you guys, our listeners, visit www.bestfairybooks.com and visit our Authors on the Air Facebook page, and you will see that there is actually a special on for our listeners of this radio show to purchase these books on sale. But tell us a little bit about the fairy books, because these are no other fairy book that I have ever read, and my daughter loves them.
We are so happy. And this was a research item. You know, for example, if you note the title, the series title is called The Best Fairy Books Series. It's keyword search, and a lot of authors will make these long-winded titles with the's and ands and for's. It's just wasted words. In today's technology, make it short and sweet and find out what keywords describe your product. So that's one of the reasons I think this series has been successful, but also the stories. If anyone's familiar with the series, even if you're not, we blame things on fairies. Now, parents have been blaming fairies for things for years, the tooth fairy, for example. Well, in the author's house, she had two twin daughters, and one had straight hair and one had curly hair. And every morning, the curly-haired granddaughter would wake up and cry that someone tied her hair in knots. And her grandmother said, must be the knot fairy, because it wasn't me. So she released the first book. It was super successful. It won 6 different children's book awards. Then came the sock fairy, because everyone always says the dryer eats the sock. So she wrote this book about fairies who steal the socks. And then the next one is the belly button fairy, and then finally the fart fairy. And my wife hates that word. Absolutely despises it.
I do too. I can't stand it, but it's in a book, so how can I say no?
So when the author wrote it, she actually had been doing elementary school visits, and that was the number one thing that kids would blame on a fairy. They wouldn't call it the toot fairy or the squeaky fairy. It was the fart fairy, because you weren't allowed to say the word, and that's exactly what it is. I mean, if you say that word, everyone knows what it is. So I illustrated it against her will, and it's one of our best-selling books. And each time a royalty statement comes in, I hand it to her, and she rolls her eyes like, I can't believe it. And I think that's what makes the book successful is we don't elevate the fairy. We blame them for problems, and there are so many different problems that kids have. Mm-hmm. And by giving them the fairy to blame it on, it just makes it a little bit more fun.
That is absolute truth. And so whenever my son gets on his kick of where he has to say that word repetitively,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, go get the book. Let's read the book and get it out of your system.
Oh, yeah. Follow it with the word fairy, and it's okay. It's kind
and
of like sweet and sour.
We haven't been able to convince his teacher of that yet, though.
Oh, yeah. No, you won't do that. No, it won't happen.
Excellent. But then again, everybody, definitely check out www.bestfairybooks.com and check out the Authors on the Air Facebook page and my Facebook page for the special. And definitely check out these books because even above and beyond the Fart Fairy, there are plenty of other books in there that are just beautifully illustrated and wonderful stories for you to pick up for your kids and for you. And I love I'm still a picture book nut, so they cater to me as well. Okay, well, let's go on to some questions that we have from the field. We have a question from Felicia Friend in Hawaii, and she would like to know what conversations occur between the illustrator and the author.
The conversations that normally occur between the illustrator and the author are determined from the publisher. So if the author is going through a traditional publishing model, the communication usually doesn't happen between the author and the illustrator. It usually goes from the illustrator to the publisher to the author. It's not as easy or as much fun. Now, if you're independently publishing, the communication process is a lot of back and forth. There will be, several emails, texts. But when I work on a project, I usually send the client PDFs along the way, secured PDFs, so that they can preview it and also get responses from their viewers. I have an author that's in California, and I live in Florida. I've never met the person, but when I'm illustrating the book, I show it to the kids in Florida, and she shows it to kids in California, and kids in California may relate to certain elements of the book that kids in Florida will not. For example, palm trees. If I were to illustrate a book with palm trees and we tried to sell it in Kentucky, the kids would look at it and go, well, we don't have palm trees here. Book's not about us.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things where the communication with the author, it's varied, and it also depends on who's involved. So if you have a publisher, your publisher is going to get involved.
Neat. Cool. All right. Thank you. And then we have one more question from Felicia. She wants to know what inspiration leads to the final depiction of the characters and how does your own style influence that income? Do you have to change your style depending on the story for the final product?
I'll address the style question. I have trained to be an animator, so animators copy one another's styles, and that's why they usually have hundreds of animators animating in a movie, because they all can illustrate the exact same way. So I usually ask the author to provide the artistic direction of the style that they want to go in. And I can paint in many different styles. So usually that is where the style element comes from. I'll do whatever the author enjoys, as long as it's not oil paint, because that takes forever to dry.
Yes, I can't imagine. That would add, 6 months to the project?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also with the characters, what we do as the illustrator, what I usually do is I ask, are there family members that inspired this story? Is there someone special you want to hide inside the book? One series that I do is the Wallaby series, and it's Jilly That's Silly and Nicholas That's Ridiculous. When the author provided me the story, I asked her, who are these kids? Describe these kids to me. She said, well, my son is Nicholas, and this is what he looks like. I'm a man. He is a cute boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this cute little freckle on one cheek, and he's got this cool hair. I said, would you like me to illustrate him in the book? The author was ecstatic. She said, great, because all the characters in these books are based on family members, So what I did was all of the characters in her book are her family members.
Neat.
And she was so excited that the main character in the entire series is the mother. And she said, could you make me the mother? So she is actually the main character in the book. And be careful, authors, when you request your illustrator to make you the main character, because she is constantly exercising, and she has had the same hairstyle for about 4 years. So I told her I would cut her hair in the next book.
That's great. Wow, that's neat. And I bet the kids like that too. I mean, what a cool treat that is to have, you know, to carry on with you throughout your life. So to piggyback on that question then, do you ever have an author that has written a story but has zero vision as what the picture should look like, and to say, here are my words, make it tell the story in pictures?
I have a lot of people who give me full control, and even when they give me full control, I act like a psychologist and pull out what they're really thinking, because even when my wife tells me just take out the trash, I may not take it out the way she wanted me to take it out. So she's gotten pretty good at telling me exactly how it's done. Now, and the author will too. First-time authors, they usually do not know what to expect, so they will give you free rein. So, for example, when Ms. Carpenter gave me the Nicholas book, I actually had free rein. So I put Nicholas, I put her. The next book was a totally different process. She told me colors and different toys she wanted inside the book. She was like working with a totally different person because she knew what to expect and what the process was and all the other elements that she wanted to include and with her words. So,
That's interesting.
The first book is hardest, and the second book you become more controlling and you have a vision.
Cool. Very good. Okay, our next question comes from Nettie in New York, and she wants to know if you ever run by a character or run a character by a child and have them describe the characteristics to you, or are they generally your own brainchild?
Definitely. I run it by kids all the time. In my neighborhood, people come by the front door and just bang on the door. My office is actually in the front side of my house, and it has this huge bay window, and people who walk by can look in, and I actually hang up the artwork inside my house as I'm working on a project. I do it, one, to get my kids' input. They're getting older. They hardly come in. But also, when family members come over, that's the place everyone goes. Come in and they say, well, that I don't get it. What does that picture mean? And they haven't read the text. And if the picture is not telling the story, it doesn't matter if I put the text with it or not. It's still not going to be great. So I always get input from kids. I will actually draw in public as much as possible. My favorite place is Panera. I just put my headphones on and start watercoloring. And people will walk up and say, that reminds me of when I was a kid. Or, I love that purple color you used. I'm like, wow, great. I didn't even have to ask you. You know, people will tell you what they like. And they'll tell you what they don't like, too. So,
That's true.
Be afraid to do it in public. You know, as a writer, you can't really write something and expect someone to give you feedback. But as an illustrator, if they draw in public, people will be captivated. If it's good, they're captivated. If it's bad, they will just ignore you, and you'll think, is there something wrong with me? Did I not shave? You know, what's the problem here?
Yes,
but
if
it's good, they'll stop.
I bet kids could be the best critics when it comes to that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they're transparent and they're honest and they can't hold back because they don't have that filter. So I bet you could get the best advice right just from having them look at that. That's great.
And also, for example, like the cover illustration has to tell the story for non-readers. When we created the Fart Fairy, we asked all the kids, well, you know, where would that fairy hang out? And they listed all these different places. And he ended up in the bathtub on the front cover. He's a little fairy sitting in a tiny little bathtub with bubbles flying everywhere. And that reads Fart Fairy without even the title. Kids will walk up and go, look, Mommy, he's in the bathtub doing this. Perfect.
That's great. Okay. So, and then we have one more question from an adult, and then we move into our kid questions. Marlene from Alabama would like to know what medium that you prefer when you draw. Is it colored pencils, paint, or crayons? And then how do you choose the final work?
I work in different mediums. My favorite medium is pen and ink. I journal all the time, and I do it in pen and ink, different colors of pen. And people are just amazed that I make a few mistakes as I do. So my favorite is pen and ink with watercolor. So if you were to ask me to create just a picture off the top of my head, that would probably be the medium that I use. And also living in Florida as a watercolorist, you can paint very fast because it dries quickly. So when I watercolor in my parents' home in Kentucky, it takes a few hours for that watercolor to really be dry enough to go back over and do another wash or do different elements with it. So.
Wow. I bet. That's really interesting. Watercolors, I noticed that when I was looking just through your website and several of the books that you have illustrated, that watercolor is very prevalent, and it's so bright and vibrant, and it's neat because you don't see that in a lot of books, when you know, a lot of picture books. So that sets you apart from your competition, as you said earlier.
Thank you. Well, it's also a tone as well. A lot of the authors that I illustrate for have their favorite books are classics. And, for example, like the Winnie the Pooh soft classics, I illustrated a book called King for a Day. And when you open the book, people always say, wow, it kind of reminds me of Winnie the Pooh. And I'm like, exactly. You know, that's the style I wanted. And every time they say that, I think I picked the style that I wanted for that
book.
And it's funny that people will label that style based on what they've already seen.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely, and the mission accomplished then, because if that was what you're going for, then you did it, and that just tells you that you accomplished what you set out for.
Right.
Okay, and we have some questions. We have four questions from kids for us. Dylan from West Virginia would like to know, how do you get your ideas, and how do you draw the pictures and pick the colors?
How do I get my ideas? Well, if I tell him all of this, then he's going to go out and take over my business. I get my ideas. I learned as a kid, I'm very religious, so I go to church. And one of the sayings was, draw closer to God and he'll draw closer to you. And I always thought, what does that mean? Because it means something totally different if you're reading the Bible. But for me, as an artist, I thought, well, what does that mean? If I draw closer to him, what does that mean? So I started daydreaming in class one time, and I was looking out the window at the clouds. Every time I looked at the cloud, I'd draw a picture. I looked back out there, and I'd draw a picture. And it hit me. If I get my inspiration from something not where I'm at, like if I look out beyond myself, that I would find something that would inspire me to draw. So in the beginning, it was clouds. I would just draw pictures of clouds and never finish them. And then I would go back into my journal, and I would turn the cloud into something. So if you see a cloud, you think it's a giant elephant or a baby, so you kind of sketch it out, and that's what it becomes. And then the second question was the colors. How do I pick out the colors?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The color wheel. I have a color wheel in my office, and there are complementary colors. There are colors that do not... They call it friction and tension. So, and for example, red and green are two violent colors that whenever people see them, they're like, ooh, you know, it's, why did you do that? But if you put white between it, they go, oh, Christmas. So I use colors to my advantage, and I use the color wheel, and I select colors based on that idea, because all colors have a feeling. So if you have a character that is, you want to be empowered, blue is a great color because it means confidence. So if I have a character that starts out non-confident, they may wear a totally different color shirt than they do in the end of the book. They may be wearing a blue shirt at the end of the book that reads, you know, I'm independent. So that's the way I use color.
Neat. Very good. Okay. Jessa in Montana wants to know if you have any tips for somebody who wants to start drawing.
741.5.
741.5.
That is the call number. That's the call number in the library where all the drawing books are. And the reason I say that, a lot of kids will ask me the same question. And if you were to go to my mom's library in Kentucky, every book that I learned to draw from is in that library. So that's where my first instructors were. And if you're an artist, all you need are the words and an example, and you can create the same thing you see inside the books. And it does take a lot of practice. So the second thing I would recommend is a journal. It's just a blank book. And I recommend a hardbound one because when you get to be my age, I have just in 10 years, and I'm not 10 years old, I have 52 journals full
wow.
of drawings. And that's 11,648 sheets of paper. So for all the parents listening, they're all hardbound, and they're on a bookshelf, and they're all in order, and none of them have ever been thrown away. So if you don't want to throw away your kid's stuff, tell them to draw in a journal, and you can put it on a bookshelf. So
yes, and he's
741.5 and journals.
Mark's telling the truth there. He told Corinne the same thing, and what do you think the first thing that we did on our way home from Nashville was? It was buy her a hardbound journal. So we have started her collection. Very good. Okay, and then Mason in Montana wants to know what your favorite color is.
My favorite color is white.
Hmm.
And the reason I like white is because it's the color of paper, and no matter what I do, I can pick up dirt and rub on the paper, and I can turn it into artwork. I can rub green grass on it to make green on the paper. So if it starts out white, it's my favorite color. So.
That's the coolest favorite color I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Very neat.
I have a white car because whenever I get it dirty, I like the way that the dirt looks on it because it inspires me to draw something else. So, you know, that's white is my favorite color for the reason that it could be anything when it's finished.
Wow. I love that. I'm going to have to tell that everybody who's listening. That's great. My daughter will love that as well. And speaking of Corinne, her question is she would like to know if you illustrate anything other than books like magazines or calendars.
I do illustrate calendars. I actually donate my illustration to Kids Need to Read Calendar. And in the beginning, you know, I've worked for a printing company, so I had done illustrations for different products. But for now, my main focus are books. They're products that reach all age levels, all nationalities, and it's the best form for me to inspire someone else. And when you sit at home and you draw a picture and you put it inside a book, and there are thousands of copies made, they're distributed all around the world, and you walk out of the house and one day someone says, "Hey, you're that person, made me cry," or "that picture made us laugh every night," then that's so inspiring to me. Then having one person come up and go, "Oh, yeah, I went to this art gallery. I paid a lot of money to get in there, and I only saw your picture for like 5 minutes because they were closing." That's frustrating.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
For someone to come up and say, "Your artwork makes me cry, makes me laugh, makes my family do this," that is why I love books.
I get it, and that's what I don't have it from the same perspective, but I completely understand that. So very good. Well, Mark, it has been a pleasure chatting with you today. I would love for you to take a moment. We've mentioned your Fart Fairy, or not your Fart Fairy, your The Best Fairy website a couple of times, but I would
right.
love for you to take a moment to tell our listeners where they can find you online
okay.
or wherever.
Okay. They can find me online at my website, which is my name, Mark, M-A-R-K, Wayne, W-A-Y-N-E, Adams.com, and they can follow me on Twitter, the same, that's my Twitter name as well, it's all lowercase, and any of the books, they can walk into Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever you feel like purchasing a book, just walk in and ask for a Mark Wayne Adams book. If it's not in stock, they can get it to you in a couple of days, but that's the easiest way to find me, and a lot of people ask, you know, how can I learn more from you? You know, I enjoyed you on the radio interview. How can I get more feedback from you? With social networking, just follow the people that inspire you. by following them, when something inspires me, I share that information. And that is the way to gain more experience without actually having to travel to Orlando, Florida, and sit through one of my conferences or sit through a session. So.
Very good. And there's a plethora of information on your website. I've been looking at that all day and just going through all of your various illustrations. So I highly encourage everybody that's been listening today to check it out. And again, I thank you so much for coming on today. I have learned a lot, and I hope that our listeners have learned a lot as well. And check out the special that we have on these books, because you definitely want to get your hands on these.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for having me. And enjoy your afternoon in Alabama. It's very hot here in Florida.
Hey, I'll be there in a couple of weeks to enjoy that with you. So, good, Mark. Thanks again. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Well, that's a wrap. Be sure to tune in next week for the conclusion of our Behind the Scenes on Behind the Words, where we will welcome an agent. This is a must-listen opportunity to all of you authors out there. And if you can't wait until then to hear something on Authors on the Air, remember to visit our website at www.authorsontheair.com for the amazing lineup of guests our hosts are welcoming this week, including a special show with two of our hosts, Stephen Campbell and Susan Wingate, and the superstar Hugh Howie will join Pam Stack. You have been listening to Behind the Words, and I'm your host, Lori Hayes. This is a copyrighted show owned by Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, produced and owned by Pam Stack. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed the show. Have a great day.